Next Step number 431, September 8th, 2016. Today's Next Step is sponsored by Predator Cycling, specializing in custom carbon bicycles, components, accessories, and repair. Pushing the limits of technology, derived from experience, created from passion, fabricated by cyclists for cyclists. Predator Cycling. Visit them at predatorcycling.com. An interesting week, to say the least. Mother Teresa became a saint. Pope Shenouda, what he said about the youth. Luke chapter 3, the early warning signs of St. John the Baptist. I left St. Peter as the pastor and we got a new pastor. San Juan Capistrano and Santa Monica. This is Father Voskin. I'm connecting the dots between all of that and much more in this edition of The Next Step.
This is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Vazgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The Next Steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
A church without youth is a church without a future. Have you heard that being said? Oh, there's been so many people who say that. But check out the second sentence that comes after that. Moreover, youth without a church is youth without a future. Ah, now who could say that? Pope Shenouda, of blessed memory, Pope Shenouda of Alexandria III, he said that. And I think that it really is the starting point of where I want to go today. A church without youth is a church without a future. Moreover, youth without a church is youth without a future. I'm not going to be talking about youth today. I'm going to be talking about the strength, about the courage to be able to say something like that. It means that you believe in something. You believe that the church is essential. It is necessary. Are you surprised that I'm bringing this up? Like, there are people, there are church leaders who don't believe it's necessary. Well, obviously, right? Right, obviously. A youth without its church has no future. That's basically saying humankind has no future without the church. It's understanding the importance, the necessity of that church, the Christ body. Pope Shenouda. Very bold man, humble man. I mean, despite being the Pope of the Coptic Orthodox Church, which in itself is a very sacred position, not only an administrative position, but it's a sacred position in Alexandria, the seat of Saint Mark. He was incredibly humble, and he touched the people. He was a people's man. I had a good occasion to meet him. I think I've shared this with you. Actually, this morning I was talking with a dear friend, supporter of this program, Janine, out in New York. Hi, Janine. And she was sharing with me one of those surrealistic moments, I guess, in life, when she was at an airport and by chance she had an opportunity to serve coffee to this cleric who turned out to be Pope Shenouda. I believe it was cappuccino that she said that she served, but how wild is that? You know, what a blessing that is to be able to serve someone who serves so many. And I had an interesting story with him back in San Jose when I was the pastor in San Jose at the St. Andrew Church. The Coptic Orthodox Church is one of the few churches that we in the Armenian Orthodox tradition, we are in complete communion with. And so I was invited to the consecration of the Coptic Orthodox Church in San Jose, California. I was invited and I went and I took my place with the seated guest clergymen who were invited, and Pope Shenouda was coming to consecrate that church. And he got there and it turned out that they had, I guess they hadn't anticipated that he would use so much muron, the blessed chrism. And he was in the middle of the consecration. I think he had consecrated a few pillars, if I remember right. And they ran out of muron, the chrism, the holy oil. And Pope Shenouda he turned to the local, I don't know if it was the local cleric or to the bishop, and he said, is there an Armenian church close by? And they pointed to me and they said, well, the priest is right here. And they approached me, they tapped me on the shoulder and they said, we've run out of muron. Do you have muron at your church? I said, yes, I absolutely do. And I remember we got a police escort with the flashing sirens and everything. And I drove down to the local St. Andrew Armenian Church, which we had in Cupertino, picked up a vial of muron and rushed it back to the consecration. And when I got there, Pope Shenouda was sitting in the congregation, with the congregation, I should say, and just around him, people sitting on the floor. It was such a moment, really, to treasure, and I will never forget that scene in front of my eyes, where the people, the congregation, felt so much at home. They were just sitting down, and he was talking to them in a basic language. And I remember this specific point of somebody was asking, I think it was a woman asking him about smoking and what were the evils of smoking, why or how she could get her husband to quit, or maybe it was the husband asking about the wife. I don't remember the specifics, but I remember that's what the conversation is when I got back into that sanctuary. He was just basically sitting with the people, sharing and talking in a very humble manner about life, about some of the trappings of life, some of the difficulties we encounter in life. And so I got there, and I was so blessed and honored that day because I had brought the muron. He asked me to stand next to him as he consecrated that church. And I was able to provide the muron through the Armenian church. And so it shows you how much in union we are. There's something to be said about the Coptic Orthodox Church in San Jose was consecrated with Armenian muron. I mean, events like this speak to the unity of the church, but they also speak to the importance of the church, of understanding that there is a system to it all. It's not just about a couple people getting together, but that muron, bringing the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't something that was just lightly or going to be tapped over, but something that was essential for the consecration of the building. And it takes people who believe in the Holy Spirit to ask for the Holy Spirit, right? Well, I say this because, you know, we are bombarded with so many different distractions. I'll tell you one of them. This last Sunday in Rome, a Mother Teresa was canonized, became a saint of the Roman Catholic Church. And it was kind of interesting. Yesterday we had a chance to go out to San Juan Capistrano. That is a mission down here in Southern California. It was my wife's birthday. We said, let's pack up the family and go out to the beach. We went out to the beach, had a wonderful day in San Juan Capistrano, very close to San Clemente. All of these towns here in California were named after saints of the Catholic Church. It was Father Una Pera Serra who came by. So many times we talk about like Santa Monica and have to realize that Santa Monica was actually a Saint Monica. And my nephew, just nodding, he was married in Santa Monica just this past week. Or we talk about Santa Cruz, right? Santa Cruz, Saint Cruz, or San Jose, Saint Joseph, there you go. San Jose, San Diego. We talk about all these here in California as cities, but actually they are the names of saints. And so we went to San Juan Capistrano, Saint John of Capistrano, and there is a beautiful mission which was built in 1776, the year that America proclaimed its independence. And that mission fell down during an earthquake in 1812. So yesterday we were over there. I hadn't forgotten about this story. Because when you think about San Juan Capistrano, what do you think about? Swallows. Do you know that story? I'll make sure that it's on our show notes today. The swallows. Every March 19th, which is St. Joseph's Day. I have an affinity to St. Joseph. I remember that day. March 19th, St. Joseph Day. Every year, the swallows return to Capistrano. I guess for the winter, they've been gone away to warmer climates. Yes, all of you down there in the southern hemisphere. What have you done to our swallows? They go and hang out with you guys. Anyway, they come back on March 19th. And San Juan Capistrano has this beautiful tradition of welcoming the swallows. A very beautiful bird when you look how graceful they are. Forget about that they make their nests out of mud, but a very delicate bird. And they return to San Juan Capistrano. Some people say miraculously, but I say by the clock. By the clock designed by God, by a very special clock that happens to be inside of them. So yesterday we were at San Juan Capistrano and my wife's birthday, and I went and I got her a small medallion because I noticed it there. It was Saint Teresa. It was a Saint Teresa medallion. You know, the little Catholic ones that people wear. You know, in my time, Saint Christopher used to be a popular one. And then I believe Saint Christopher was... Something happened. They removed him from the canon, then they brought him back. Anyway, St. Christopher was very popular during my time because back in the 60s, you had the surfers who would all wear these little St. Christophers. Am I digressing again? Yes, you know I am. Anyway, in San Juan Capistrano, we found a St. Teresa. Now, you're going to say, she was made a saint, canonized as a saint, last Sunday. And you were there a couple days later and you found a Saint Teresa medal. It must have been some other Saint Teresa. Actually not. That's why I got it. We were one of the first people to get it. It said Saint Teresa of Calcutta. Yeah, Saint Teresa. And so the Catholics have canonized her. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because what's interesting, this is so wild. Armenians. Check it out on Facebook. They're like taking claim to her. Did you know that? Did you know that Saint Teresa, Mother Teresa's father was Armenian? Did you know that she was, her last name was such and such? What was it? Boyajian or something like this? Did you know that, she was really Armenian and now the Catholics have made her into a saint? And I can't believe it. I cannot believe the things that people get excited about. She was Armenian? No. She was a woman who gave up everything to service the poor, to be with the poor, because of a command that Jesus Christ had given. Not because she was Armenian. Didn't even matter who she was. I know, everyone's excited. Ooh, look. But I'll tell you something to get excited about. Because this morning, it was just remarkable. So much of this is going to play into what I'm going to share with you today. This morning, as I woke up and I opened my Bible to read a passage of inspiration for the day. Would you know that I opened to Luke chapter 3? And I had been thinking lately, I gotta go back to Luke. It's a very interesting book, Luke. It's a different perspective, a different vantage point. There is so much in Luke that we do not find in Matthew, definitely not in Mark and certainly not in John because not one of the synoptics. But Luke has a very unique perspective. And I open to chapter 3. Check this out. The proclamation of St. John the Baptist. In the 15th month, in the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. So Luke gives a basic background of what time frame this took place. Let's go to verse 7. John said to the crowds that came to be baptized with him, by him, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise children of Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Did you catch that? I really, it wasn't an intentional lookup. I just happened to go to Luke chapter 3 today because like I said, I wanted to get into some of the Lukean traditions a little bit more as I'm transitioning. I'll be talking about that in a few minutes, about the transitions that are taking place in my life. But it's very interesting. He said, do not rejoice, do not be happy by saying we have Abraham as our ancestors. That's exactly the same thing. Mother Teresa becomes Saint Teresa, and hey, look, she's Armenian. She has Armenian ancestors. No, folks! Whether she has a drop of Armenian blood or doesn't have it has nothing to do with the equation. The equation has to do with Christ. She was a servant of Christ, a handmaiden of Christ. She was a nun of the Roman Catholic Church. Pope Shenouda, when he says, youth have no future without the church, is not talking as a Coptic. He's talking as a Coptic Orthodox head of church, head of understanding that the church is an essential element in our functioning as human beings here in this world. And as I continued to read through this passage, my eyes were opening up to something very different this morning. Because I've shared with you about the entire In His Shoes mission, about how we come to understand ourselves as Christians by placing our feet in the shoes of others. And I've shared with you that it is really Christ's commandment that we extend ourselves to others. But this morning, a very, very unique perspective. My eyes opened as I was reading this passage from Luke. St. John the Baptist said this. He was the one who said, do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestors. And he was the one who said, God is able from these stones to raise children of Abraham. Yeah, we got to listen to that, right? God is able to raise children of Armenians. You know, get with the program. You can't have this false pride. But then he continues to say, the crowds asked him, St. John the Baptist, what then should we do? What then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what shall we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed by you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. It was a way of living. St. John the Baptist was talking about sharing, about what you have. Not important. What's important is the way you act with that stuff, the way you share with others. Because the sharing of your goods and your wealth and what you have in your heart, the love that you have in heart, is really the bottom line on Christian understanding, Christian expression. It's about the love that you share with others. And it has to manifest itself in different forms. In other words, there has to be expressions. You can't just talk about it. You have to do. St. John the Baptist is saying, you have to do it. Jesus says, it's not enough to just talk about it. You have to do. And this is where I want to share with you some ideas because a lot has happened over this past week. You just cannot believe what has happened. I just shared a little bit with you. We had weddings. Great time. We had some opportunities to meet with people, but we saw the ugly head of what happens when money gets involved in things. I want to share with you some stuff that's going on. That's in our second portion. Right now we're going to take a break. And I'm going to play you a song which was very instrumental in my formation as a Christian. And you say, well, this is kind of like hard rock, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's by Jethro Tull. It's a song that I heard the first time when I was 13, and it has formed the way that I think of things. Very important right now at this junction in my life. And I want to share that with you. It's the song of the day. We do this every week. We share with you all kinds of stuff, right? This is today's.
When I was young and they packed me off to school and they taught me how not to play the game, I didn't mind if they groomed me for success or if they said that I was just a fool. So I left there in the morning without God tucked underneath my arm, the half-assed smiles and the book of rules. And I asked this God a question, and by way of firm reply, he said, I'm not the kind you have to wind up on Sundays. So to my old headmaster and to anyone who cares, before I'm through, I'd like to say my prayers. I don't believe you, you had the whole damn thing all wrong. Is not the kind you have to wind up on Sundays. Well, you connect. Sunday school and have all the bishops come. when I was young, and they packed me off to school, and they taught me how not to play the game. I didn't mind if they groomed me for success, or if they said that I was just a fool. So to my old headmaster and to anyone who cares, before I'm through, I'd like to say my prayer. Well, you can excommunicate me on my way to the whole damn thing all wrong. He's not the kind you have to wind up on Sunday.
A little piece called Wind Up by Jethro Tull. Appeared first, can you believe, 45 years ago, 46 years ago? In 1971 on the Aqualung album. And we had heard it a little bit before that on some bootleg albums. We had a little 13, 14-year-old impressionable youth hearing that for the first time. I've never been the same. Because it really challenges you to think of God outside of the church. He's not the kind you wind up on Sunday. In other words, you have to interact with that God. That God has to be a part of your life every single day. If he, she, or it is going to be important in your life. Hey, I know you're surprised. I called it an it. Actually, in the Armenian, it is the pronoun un. There's no masculine or female in reference to God. Non-gender. Non-gender specific. Pretty cool, huh? Armenian Orthodoxy, way before its time. Anyway, I want to share that with you today. Because it's not just something that occurred to me 45 years ago and has hit me, but it's a way of life and it's a way that I understand God. And a lot of things came up. They surfaced during this past couple weeks. I want to share that with you now. Well, as I've been sharing with you, my Next Step listeners, over the past few months, I've been in a period of transition. We've been moving forward, new directions, new horizons. And last Sunday, the new pastor at St. Peter Armenian Church, where I've been serving for the last 13 years, we received our new pastor, Father Yeria, from from Seattle, Washington. He became the new pastor in Glendale at the St. Peter Armenian Church. And lucky me, I get to go up to Seattle this weekend to cover for him. To cover in place of the priest that we nabbed, right? So a few weeks I'm going to be up in Seattle up there. Father Yeria began his ministry in Glendale. And I had a chance to welcome him on behalf of the congregation. It was me because, as you know, the InHisShoes mission, we've expanded, we are growing, and we are at a point right now where we need to understand ourselves as a Christian ministry apart from, say, a parish life, a parish life where you have baptisms and weddings and funerals, and you have certain needs within the congregation. In his shoes, and the entire epostle, what we've been building up these past few years has expanded. So those of you who are outside of our area, outside of our territory, know exactly what I'm talking about. You feel that this is your church. You feel a part, and you are receptive to this ministry. You support this ministry from the outside. Well, it may be improper to say that you belong to a Glendale church, but certainly you do belong to a virtual community that is tied together, much like the Muron that was used at the Coptic church, the Armenian Muron, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The same way you, me, we are all bound together as the Christian community of believers through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we come together. We assemble. We have our own assemble. We have our own traditions, right? I mean, think about the song of the day. That's a tradition, right? It is something that you come to look forward to. The beginning riff, the music that you hear, Vaderjan's little tune at the beginning. It's a tradition. You know, you're in it. Well, you start creating these little traditions. Going out tonight, we're going out and we're going to be feeding the homeless out at Ascensia as part of the Inner Shoes ministry. Well, the lady who's sponsoring tonight doesn't go to the Glendale Church. Actually, she lives maybe 30, 40 miles away, but she sponsors it. And tonight we're going to be remembering her husband who passed away 10 years ago. And so in an expression of madal, she's paying it forward, paying it by giving it to others, by thanking God for the life that he had in this world. And so we have different ways, different traditions that are part of the Christian ministry, part of Armadoxy that is greater than the small church on the corner. Now that small church on the corner was the catalyst. That's where we all started from, right? Okay. And it's important to understand that by leaving there as the pastor, you don't abandon it. No, it always is very special. But you also, it's important to understand that the ministry is not just that. It's not just the building. There's so much more. So last Sunday, we welcomed the new priest who would handle that Glendale area. And Father Yerya came, and in my remarks to him, a certain thought came to me, which I hadn't planned for. It just sort of rolled out off of my tongue as I welcomed him. But I cautioned the people, and I said, please work with him. Don't use that tongue for divisive purposes. So many times, so often, people talk, and that tongue can be a very sharp blade, like a knife, as Saint Paul refers to the evils of gossiping, right? It could destroy. That tongue could destroy. There's a beautiful saying in Armenian. I love it, and I always have to remind myself. Chudesazad mihavada, desazidal gesahavada. What you don't see, don't believe. And what you do see, believe only half of it. Because people talk, people make up stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that goes around. So evaluate, take a look. So I cautioned the people. I said, please be with this priest. He is your pastor. You need to share your good times and your bad times. So many times we share bad times without sharing good times. And a pastor is only human. I mean, how many deaths can he take? You just keep going to him and you say, Father, you know, my aunt's in the hospital. Father, my uncle died. My parents are suffering. Well, he's just a man, right? He's just a man. And this is where the statement came out. I said, remember that the priest is a man doing godly work. And not vice versa. He's not God doing human work. That already happened. Jesus Christ did that. God doing human work. We as priests are people, are men doing godly work. The godly work is trying to help, trying to reach out, understanding that salvation is not a process of going up to heaven as much as it's a process of getting along, of saving ourselves from evil, from the difficulties of this world. And yes, we do fall. Because once you understand that we are men doing godly work, in that equation you have the opportunity to fall. And this is a big one. We don't want to admit it, but everyone falls. A lot of times I see people, and you'll see this if you get on some of social media, especially on churches. You have people pointing to others and saying, look at them, look at their hypocrisy. Jesus said, you should not be a hypocrite. Jesus turned over the tables in the temple. Yeah, Jesus could do that. He was God. You are not. Take a breath, folks. Take a breath. And realize that we all have faults. We all fall. We fall far away from the mark. Now is your chance, really, to understand that we are all men, and some of us are called to do godly work. And in that godly work, there are so many dimensions. It's not just about saying, you know, I'm taking you on a ride, a roller coaster ride up to heaven. No, it's a process of living, of understanding the pains, the joys of human life, of sharing in the sacrament of life. Yeah, that's the ultimate sacrament. We don't realize that, do we? We think of sacrament as the top seven. Marriage, baptism, holy orders, extreme unction. Now, there is an ultimate sacrament. That's the sacrament of life. And with the priest, you go through that. And so in the invitation that I extended to the people is to understand that here you have a new priest, and he is exactly that. He is a man doing godly work. So respect that and never change it around. Never assume the opposite, that he's God doing human work. Remember, Jesus did that. Been there, done that. It's already done. That's it. Thank you very much. Don't need to apply for that job. Done. It's over. But here's the big challenge. You're human, and you need to do godly work. Big challenge. It's a good one. So with that, I invited the people to get involved, and Father Yehuda gave a beautiful, beautiful sermon. And as I shared with you last time we were on, I believe last week we had a replay. So it was a couple weeks ago that I shared with you that we were graced by a generous donor who gave a donation, a handsome amount that would allow us to continue the In His Shoes ministry, or In His Shoes type of ministry, I should say, basically doing the programs that we are doing. And very, very important, because at this junction in our lives, we find it an answer to our prayer. And I shared with you that it was really when I relinquished it, I turned it over to God. That's when I understood that it wasn't my ministry, it's God's ministry. And so it's important when you understand it in that context, you realize that he's in charge. And so it doesn't, it is surprising. I have to be honest. It was surprising that this kind of donation came out. But on the other hand, it's not surprising when you realize that the work has to be done, and it has to be done somehow. And there are people whose hearts get opened for things like this. I mean, we've seen it throughout our ministry. But unfortunately, there are people whose hearts get hardened when issues of money come up. And that's a sad one. That's something that we've had to deal with over the past few weeks since this announcement was made. I won't get into the details, except that it's very important that we pray for people who cannot see beyond the beauty of the world, who everything gets, clouded because of the black and white nature of their lives. as opposed to understanding that there was a beauty in between the black and white, and that's that entire spectrum of color. A spectrum of color that includes all kinds of things, all kinds of possibilities, and opportunities to really grow. So I share this with you today because as I was reading the Gospel of Luke this morning, the chapter 3 that I began quoting earlier, I understood that what Jesus commanded us to do, to give, was something that St. John the Baptist, when he said, I prepare the way of the Lord, it's not just basically saying, okay, here's a baptism, but to understand that he was giving the message. He was heralding the message. And the message of love, the message of sharing, of giving to one another's. And you listen to this and you might say that, whoa, what is this, an economic solution as well? And once you say that, then where do the politics fit in? And, you know, there is a lot of strange things going on in the world right now. There is a lot of very, very strange things going on here in the United States when it comes to politics. People are complaining one way or another, and it's very tempting to get involved and miss the point that Jesus really isn't talking about a politics. St. John the Baptist isn't talking about politics. It's not about sharing the wealth and therefore becoming a communist. No, it's understanding that all of life is a gift given to you by God. And when you understand that that gift is so special and so sacred, sacrament, the sacrament of life, that's when you understand that it's really only, its only real value is in its, in your ability to share it, to share that wealth that you have, because that's when it becomes a true wealth. Hey, listen. Last Sunday, I had to do a funeral. Yeah, funeral on a Sunday. Because here was a gentleman who had passed away, and he wasn't part of the Armenian Orthodox tradition, but the family asked if I would come and offer some words to the Armenian-speaking congregation there. Most of which was from the Armenian church. And as I listened to the man's biography, and the service, which took place in the Episcopal Church, there was a reading from Walden Pond. It just hit me so profoundly. First of all, because those of you who follow our ministry know that when we do our weekly services, it's not just only hearing the readings that come to us from Holy Scripture, but to understand that there is a holiness in many pieces of writing, just as there is a holiness in many pieces of art. Yes, I said that. Okay, now don't go off. Don't send me emails. How dare you compare Walden Pond with the Bible? I'm not doing that. What I'm doing is I'm saying, look for the holiness all around you. And in that sense, yes, I do dare to do that. Henry David Thoreau, he writes, I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. I translated that on the spot. It was probably the first time Walden Pond got into a sermon, an Armenian sermon. But, you know, when we were kids, I'm sure many of you in your high school, college careers have read Henry David Thoreau. There is something about that late adolescence, early adulthood that speaks, resonates, right? When you read this stuff. Speaking of which, I did finish Stephen King's novel. It was wild. I did finish it out in San Clemente yesterday. Anyway, digressing again, Henry David Thoreau, Walden Pond, talking about finding that purpose. And listen to what he said, that at the end of life, he realizes that he didn't live. What have we shared with you all along in Armadoxy? It's about sharing. It's about giving of yourselves. The sin in life, people who have sin, who say that we have sinned, it's not about what you have done and saying, ooh, shame on you, you've done this bad thing. No, sin is not taking the risk. It's having what you have and not using it, not using the talent. Remember the story of the three men with the talent. They have certain talents. In this case, they were given an amount of money. And one person was given 10, and he takes the 10, and he makes 10 more, and he gives it to the Lord. The other person has 5. He takes that 5, and he multiplies it. And he says, here's 5 more. The person who has 1, yes, it's an uneven distribution, as is life. Life is an uneven distribution. But the man who has 1 takes it, and he is so scared, he puts it in his pocket, so that he doesn't spend it. And so when the Lord comes, the man pulls it out of his pocket. He says, here you go, Lord. Here's that 1 that you gave me. I know that you are a person who demands of his workers. So I kept it in my pocket. I put it in a handkerchief. I didn't want anybody to see it. I didn't risk it. Here you go. He gave it back. And what does the Lord say to him? Remember the story. He condemns the servant. In Armenian, I love this word. Ambidanzara. You are damned. It's with your words that you are damned. You're condemned. Because something was given to you and you didn't even use it. You didn't even use it. And these words that Henry David Thoreau had written, I used that in the eulogy because it was so appropriate. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. You see, living is about giving. You see, living is about communicating. Living is about sharing. What have I described? I've described love. Love is about living. Love is about sharing. Love is about giving. Love is life. Life is love. It all is part of the same equation. And the minute we start understanding that these terms are interrelated, interconnected, we better understand who we are in that grand equation called life. I want you to take a look at Luke chapter 3. I want to talk more about it. I know we're up against the clock right now. I want to talk more about it in the coming weeks because here in America we are in the election process and people are talking about all kinds of weird things. All kinds of weird things. And Jesus is not about politics. It's about the unweird. It's about sharing. It's about loving. It's about living. Let me take a break right now. Let Susie make her announcement. I will be back with some announcements of my own. Here's Susie.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 9th year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you to all of you who really share in this ministry. I appreciate all of the comments that you send me, and I really, really appreciate the love and the sharing that you send me. Big shout out for our dear friends over at Predator Cycling, who are sponsoring today and the next few podcasts. And maybe an incentive to all of you, if you'd like to sponsor a podcast, do get in touch with us. Meanwhile, Predator Cycling, man, you got to check them out. PredatorCycling.com. They're also on Facebook under the same name. Predator Cycling, they specialize in custom carbon bicycles, components, accessories, and repair. But here's the cool thing about them. They really push the limits of technology. Sound familiar? You know why we're on the same page? Pushing the limits of technology. They're there because of experience. They're created with passion. They're fabricated by cyclists for cyclists. That's different, right? And it's not some big factory out there that doesn't know what the people are doing. Actually, go to their website, read some of the testimonials, read some of the information, watch the videos, check out their stuff. You'll see it's all about the cycling world. Predator Cycling, available at predator.com. And with that, I want to just say that I wish I could take a bicycle this week, but I can't. This is the first year in several years that I'm unable to participate in the Avon 39-mile walk. And if yesterday we went bike riding, and it had its episodes on my knee. As you know, several months ago, I went through this very horrific accident, which has left my knees in disrepair right now. So I shared with you during that time, we're very, very thankful that We survived, of course, and we are alive today, but there are some remnants from that accident which are preventing me from being part of the Avon Walk. We always send a team out there, team in her shoes. This year, my sister Anish and Florence are going to be out there, just the two of them, serving and being part of that expression of team in her shoes. We wish them the best. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes if you want to contribute to Avon, the race against breast cancer. Please make your contributions via the website. Yeah, there'll be a link, and you can do that. And my prayers go out to everybody out there. I really miss it. My wife and I would have loved to have been part of this year. Just no can do. The knees aren't there. And please pray for me and pray for my wife, pray for all of us, that pretty soon these knees get back to where they were. And next year I'm looking forward to maybe doubling it, okay? No, I'm not going to walk 78 miles. No, doubling the amount that I raise for the breast cancer walk. Anyway, that brings us to an end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. Of course, it was a pleasure being with you, and it is just as much enjoyable for us as I hope it's enjoyable for you hearing this. His Holiness Karakin II was out in Karabakh this past week. I know there's so much that we need to share with you. I'm going to be meeting with Archbishop Hovnan in a couple days. He returns from that epic journey to Karabakh, to the border, with His Holiness, and I'd love to get some responses from him and share those with you as well. In the meantime, please join us at inhisshoes.org, as well as on Facebook at the usual spots between me, Susie, In His Shoes, the mothership, as well as the Facebook mothership. And we look forward to seeing you here or there. Listen, on behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of VPostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off-balance. Top limit.